Is there two groups or three groups?
Right now, two groups. I think Paramananda Prabhu did not tell me anything. I think only two groups.
So they have requested that I give some time to all of you. So I'm here. So if you have any questions in the beginning, we can discuss a little bit. And then from there, we can take from there. Right? Otherwise, you can sit and look at each other.
Before anyone asks, I just want to pass some comment. Prabhu said he confused us. No, we know that how well they are teaching us. Now we know from how they learn.
That's nice.
They ask so many questions, that means, you know.
That's good. Good to ask, to clear your doubts.
Well, it's an open session, so...
So, Prabhuji, you have 30 years of Krishna consciousness experience, right? So, before that and now, so would you please tell us about what's the difference you think you have inside yourself? Before coming to Krishna consciousness and now, after 30 years?
Well, I mean, the goals are slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For one thing, it depends on each individual also, I believe. But in general, most people have a certain goal they want to achieve, and so they aim for that in their lives. So in the same way, I was also pursuing those kind of goals, but I never was really happy. So anyway, by good fortune, I got to reach La Prabhupada's books and then got involved with the devotees, so that changed my outlook, because it didn't make sense. You put everything, so much effort, and that's it. Is that it? But when you understand the Vedic culture, you see that actually you get a lot of chances, sometimes for many lifetimes. So that is one angle. The other angle is, do we really want to pursue this kind of goals and desires which has no end, actually? And so, as Srila Prabhupada says, an intelligent person would consider all this and then decide what is better, the best option. And so I chose to stop this cycle. But we'll see whether we are successful or not. It's a challenge, but it is a doable thing. The alternative to not doing it is to go through so many different forms of life, which is not really palatable or even enticing. Or you can have examples also. You can see how Bill Gates, he amassed so much fortune. But why is he doing philanthropy work? Because there's no more joy in what he was doing. So then they go down to philanthropy. But that's the best a materialist can do. They can't go beyond that. So if you analyze that, then why do they find that pleasurable? Because they want to help somebody or serve somebody. Actually, they're serving somebody. So then in the scripture it says, if you serve the Supreme Person, then you can actually be happy all the time. So again, an intelligent person will think, why not serve them? So that's one area. The other area is, if you get too entangled in your own material life, then you just see more problems, actually, and less of a joyful road, actually. I don't know, in my life at least, I felt there was so much difficulties. Maybe after the age of 12, things was fine. But after that, things are always a challenge. You got to always maintain a certain grades in school, and then there's always challenges facing you. And it's, if you just look at your own life, you just see just books, all your life in books. And then if you don't do that, then what else do you do? You mix around with other parties, other friends, but then what is the achievement again? Yeah. if they say that's fun, then if you go for that kind of fun, then you end up in trouble. And so whichever angle it was always, it didn't last long enough, ultimately. So then you have to take a back seat and then try to ask yourself, what is it that you really want? Right? What is it that you really, truly want? Do you want something so that is going to give you happiness forever, or something in the short term? So I came to that junction, crossroads, you can say. So that's when I decided to take up the process seriously. Yeah. And it made a lot more sense. I can't answer many things before, now at least I know, yeah, there is an answer for certain things. Otherwise you can't answer, you know, you see some child who take birth with this deformed, nobody can answer. The doctors only will say, oh, that's too bad, you know. Nobody can help you. But that's not satisfactory. The heart is not satisfied. So the soul wants real truth, answers. And if you can't give that, then you'll find, even when you talk to outside people, if you can't reveal the truth properly, they are not happy. And so that's very important. So maybe that's, without going into too much personal details, yeah, that's, yes.
So, Prabhu, so you were talking about, you know, the choices being very clear-cut. So, you know, sometimes your choices are clear, but sometimes it's so difficult. You know, Mataji and Prabhupada said, you know, everybody who attends class with me knows I have very great difficulty letting go of coffee. So I can't let go of coffee. It's just like watching movies, for instance.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, I know I can do something else, but you know, when I see that, I'm really tempted by it. So these kind of temptations, how long do they take, or like generally, to say
they can take for all your lifetime, or for many lifetimes. It depends on your choices, again. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, how do you become a pure devotee? And Srila Prabhupada answered, how do you become a drunk? So then he laughed, just like you all, and he said, if you join drunkards, you become a drunk.
Right.
So if you join devotees, you will become a devotee. Now you say you have difficulty in giving up coffee. Maybe that's because you have coffee at home.
Work, actually. I have to wake up.
So you keep it there, how can you not? Just like if you have TV at home, chances are you will turn it on.
Uh-huh.
Right? These things are there. We have to make some choices. You know? Ultimately, you have to give up certain things, you know. To understand Krishna, there must be some tapasya.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't have some tapasya, then it's not possible to understand Krishna. And then you say, somehow or other you have so many desires coming.
Right.
That is because the gunas, the three gunas, they are always acting on all of us. Our body is made of the three gunas. Rajaguna, tamaguna, sattvaguna. You cannot avoid that. Your body is made by a certain percent, everyone here. So some of you may have a little bit, you know, maybe it's in a ratio of 3-3-4 like that. Okay. Or 3.3, 3.3 something. But it's around there. The ratios are very close. Some of you may have a little bit more sattva guna, some of you may have a little bit more raja guna, and some of you may have a little bit more tama guna. So according to that gunas, it'll act on you. Sometimes the more of goodness will act on you, sometimes the more of passion will act on you, sometimes the more of ignorance will act on you. So you have no choice. But Krishna says, Nistray Guna Bhavarjuna, you know, rise above. But how you do that? By practice. So you have taste for coffee, but then you replace it with something else. Param Drisva Nirvartate. So Param, the superior taste will stop this base taste. So instead of taking coffee, you can substitute every time you want coffee, you make a peppermint tea or
okay.
some other tea, which is herbal tea, which is healthier for you.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can do that. If you want to, you can do it, right?
Yeah.
No one can force you. Even Krishna cannot force you to give up. But the material nature is set up that you will want to give up eventually. But that's how if you want to go back to Krishna's lotus feet, then you have to do that. It's the choice is ours. Nobody can force. Even your teachers can't force. We can give you the knowledge. The idea behind this whole thing is for you to have the knowledge so you can act on it. But if to act on it, you must also study at home. Not just Friday you come and then only you look. No, you have to go back and read and try to figure out why Prabhupada says like that. Huh? That way you will know why what to do. Otherwise, all this is a waste of time. Shrameva hi kevalam.
We all know, Prabhu, like we should read for the next class. Whenever Prabhu comes next class, he asks, okay, what did we refresh? We all try to recollect then. At least, I would answer from my end. So we know that, like every day, right? It's like we go to office every day, morning till evening. So mind is fully busy with that. And we come home, we want to do some chants. We try to take our time. In that chance also, we again keep mind keeps wandering here and there. Mostly related to the activities that we do throughout the day. How do we take out time? We don't even get that. Again, time goes with kids.
No, of course you have to spend time with your family and all. That's not... That's like Arjuna. Arjuna is not a sannyasi. He's a grihastha. And he also has three or four wives and a few children. And he spent time with them. But he was Krishna conscious. So you cannot say he didn't do it. He had more work than you all. And he was focusing on Krishna. Yudhishthira Maharaj also. They had such a tough time, but they never forgot Krishna. Practice again. Prioritize. You said you need to chant. See, most Indian family I know, they sleep at 11, 12 o'clock. This is not a Vedic culture. I don't know in which 100 years they changed this system, but that's what it is. When I go to India, I see they're up 1 o'clock, also they're still enjoying, and then they go to sleep and get up like 6, 7 o'clock, and then they think they can master the world. But you can't do that. For you to have good sleep that will refresh your body and make it strong, you have to sleep before midnight. At least 2 hours before midnight. But you all don't want to practice that.
It's not that you don't want to.
No, you don't want to.
No. Our work also demands like us to wake up in the night, like stay awake.
That's different. Work, that is a different situation. I'm not talking about that. In general, you don't want to do it. If you have, then you would do it. If you have on call once in a while, that's okay. It's only once in a while.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you should. You should, like your children, you know, young children below the age of 15 or 14 should go to bed by at least 8. Then their brain will develop nicely. But no. Turn on the video, TV, or talk on the internet until 11, 12 o'clock. How they can develop proper consciousness, good values. If you don't train in a certain way, you will only imbibe bad qualities and you condition yourself to become bad people. It is, it's natural. So you know some things now, you think about it. How you want to, you can't blame your family or anything. You have to set standards. So if husband and wife agree on certain things, yes, then do that. Yeah. Then you will have a better next generation. Otherwise, you do some nonsense, your children will imitate that, but then they'll do a bit more nonsense. So by the fourth or fifth generation, they are all gone. Not even culture. So that's how, what happens. You come from a cultured family, then you come to America, then you see all the amazing, you know, wonderful, glittering things. Then by the second generation, culture is gone. So things are in our hands. It's not in in your job or your manager's hands. You can do this. You can make the choices. Okay, so you're on call. So for that day, yes. But not every day you're on call. Unless you're working from, let's say, on the other side of the world, you have to be up. But that's also a ridiculous situation. That I cannot help. Then your whole life is upside down. Then you have no time for your family and children. Right? So everything can be regulated. If you want to be healthy and with good consciousness at any time, you have to practice regulation. That means sleeping at the same time every day, getting up at the same time, praying at the same time, all those things. Then you can say family time when you do that. And you're living in Seattle is such a miserable. Because there's no sun. So it's miserable. You do not know this, but it affects your consciousness. You will get depressed after a few years. So you need to get out of the house, get out of your job, go out and walk with your family, spend at least a good half an hour outside. No, I'm not joking. It's a fact. You'll go crazy.
We all are waiting for summer.
Yeah, but summer also...
It's like 2 days.
Yeah. Not so effective. Yeah. The point is, in a week, at least 2 or 3 times, go out of the house, walk. Not in midnight, but... or weekends, go out for half an hour, walk. Walking is good. We all most of you sit and work, right? So that also is not good. Okay.
Question, Prabhuji.
Yes.
So, how do we overcome envy? In the sense, like most of the time we spend at work, and you have to deal with various types of people. Some may be conscious, some may not be conscious. And you know, to be fair, you know, if they are not conscious, they will act in the way you know they think is correct, and that may sometimes. You may not appreciate their approach or their way, and at times it may create some kind of an envious feeling within you, and then, like, you know, how do you overcome such envy feeling towards your, say, colleagues or maybe your friends or your acquaintances, and not let that affect you.
You're talking about job situation.
Yes.
I'm here to help you in your spiritual life. Anyway, it's better if you sit up here because people will
come
through the door.
I'll give you a chair. Yes, sir. I'll give you a seat.
Move closer. Now, envy is rooted in all of us. That is the prime reason why we are here. We are originally envious of Krishna, so we are here. Now, it's not going to be easy to overcome envy. It again requires a lot of determination. And the best determination is service. Serve devotees, serve the person you don't like, can you serve? That's a challenge, but By serving someone, your envy will go away. How much service do you do at the temple?
Very little, Prabhuji.
Okay.
How much in the sense, like, I'll come to the temple like once a week, and besides that, I'll attend the class. And in terms of
so once a week means you come on Friday.
Yes. And if there are any particular festivals, say for example Ananda Mela, I'll try to, you know, spend some time helping the organizers, like Prabhuji or Mataji in any way.
So you know what you can do. The thing you have to ask is, can you give more? If you could, then you can come another day, like Saturday or Sunday, and do some of the little more service. Again, you know best what is it. But service helps to overcome envious nature. That means you serve somebody. You don't mind. You take a humble position. So that helps in clearing that enviousness. Now, job situation, I don't know. I think if you're a boss, you may have to use heavy language or whatever. That depends on how. But at the same time, you have to understand, you're also a living entity and that person is a living entity. Can it be done in a cordial way? Yes, sure. But do you want to do it? I don't know. Something you have to figure that out, you know. But yeah, it's possible. We can act in a civil way. Yeah. But because society is such a way, they think that's how you have to behave, in a nasty way, and then that's considered cool, something like that. But I don't think so. I think, you know. But that's cultural differences here and cultural differences in India and different places. So people have different views of how you, as a manager, how you deal with that. But I don't think you need to be harsh. You know, like if you're a manager, if your worker didn't do well, you can lay out the whole thing and why they didn't meet their targets. And because of that, you have to tell them certain things. Right? It is doable, but I don't know. It matters. It all depends on culture. But if you are well trained and if you are very, very well cultured person, regardless of the situation, you always be civil. Right? Yeah. So it again matters how you want to train yourself, and by training yourself, you can train your children in the same manner. Right? If you act violently, then your child will also act violently in years to come, because he or she will think that, well, that's the way my parents did and they got some results, so I will do the same way. So I'm sure you in your office they have some kind of mediator, things like that, so you can go through them also if you have concerns. You have a question?
Yes. So my question is about detachment. So when your loved ones are maybe suffering, how do you handle it? Say a child is sick, or how do you effectively maintain sanity?
If you say the detached means, with your child is having a flu, you're not going to be so worried so much, are you?
Worried. Like if it is my child, I'm always worried.
No, but how worried are you going to be if there's a common cold or flu like that?
Or a seizure maybe. So
seizure is different thing.
Yeah,
right? You're talking about serious disease.
Yeah,
it's not easy. You know, of course, because you have love and affection, it should be there. So a mother should always show that affection. That's nothing wrong. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Detachment comes in cases, particularly when extreme situation, let's say someone dies in your family, then you're attached to them. You will cry, and that is normal. Don't think detachment means you keep quiet. No, you show the emotion, but after everything is done and gone, you should understand that person has moved on. Yeah, like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that way you'll know, okay, the person has moved on to a better place if he or she has done that. Otherwise, you pray for them.
Okay.
Yeah. Krishna doesn't say that, you know, you just abandon your family relation. No. Where has he said? Right? Where did he say in the Bhagavad Gita? Detach, you have to understand. Spiritually, you have to detach means Materially detached means you train your child, but you don't expect the result. Yeah? For example, all Indian family, when they train their child, they tell them become doctors. That is a ridiculous situation. Because the child has his own abilities. This is a big problem with Indian parents.
So I am one of them.
Yeah.
So how to cope up with it?
Don't do that.
I understand, I agree, but I have very high expectations, which is not good for my child and me.
Exactly, and the child will hate you when they grow up.
He is hating. He says, I don't like mama.
No, the main thing with a child is values is more important than the degree they're going to bring. That, having said that, they do need the degree so that they can also have a good life. But you cannot determine their job situation. Like you have to be a doctor, engineer. No. Each child has his own or her capacities. So you nurture them, you encourage them whichever way they want to move to. That is how you should be. Then that is love. What you want is what you want, not the child's benefit. So you ruin the child. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
it is your desire. You want to be a doctor,
desire.
So you're making your child become doctor so you can live that joy through your child.
Yes, that's true, Prabhupada.
Yeah, so that is wrong. It's wrong. The child suffers after that. Don't do that. Most Indian families ruin the whole relationship. So that's why you see, after many generations, all of you are like that. Because all of you, your parents told you to be doctors. Or engineer, or lawyer. And then you feel that you never accomplished it in your life. You feel you are a loser, actually. That's wrong. You're all successful. Don't do that. The child will not be happy. He or she will always have that feeling, even when they are old, they'll think, you know, I wish I was smarter, I was... That is wrong.
Yes.
Psychologically, you spoil them. So don't do these things. Encourage them to study and do well. And whichever way they go, if they are good at that, encourage them. I'll support you. But if they do nonsense, yeah, you chastise them when they are nonsense. But that is how. That's how a parent should be. Parenting means you parent them. Now you come to America, you become their friend. No more parent. You have to be parent. Parent means a child knows that is my parent. Not argue with you for what sake. How would a 10, 15-year-old child know what is good for him or her? Right? So you should know what you, as a parent, what is good for them. But if you're always going to be fighting, then that's also bad. But anyway, these are all these values you can understand if you study the Bhagavad Gita. It teaches you how to deal with people. It teaches you what the good goals and what are bad goals. It makes you a human being. Otherwise you all become like robots and animals working like that, you know, 9-to-5 jobs. Nothing wrong, but you need to know where the goal of life is, right? What is the goal of life?
Serve Krishna.
No, to develop?
Love for
Krishna. Yeah, that's the goal of life. So that is what your focus should be. So when you deal with your children, you should always think of Krishna and thank Krishna for having a good family. Could be worse, right? See, one of the things you all should understand, whichever situation you're in, it is perfectly arranged for you. So you cannot covet another person's position and say they are better off than you. No, your situation is perfect for you to become a devotee. The other person may have millions of dollars, but it's a perfect situation for them to become devotee also. So therefore, you have to use the best use of whatever you consider, good or bad bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
In was gentle. I heard a lecture recently, and at one of the purports it says that mechanical chanting and hearing will not take you anywhere. And I was trying to correlate that to a thing where in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada wrote that even if the devotee fails, then also Krishna helps them.
So there's two things there. Because you're talking about chanting.
Right, so it's a devotee, he is chanting, and then at one point we are saying they are chanting, but then we are saying mechanical hearing and chanting will not take you anywhere.
Yes.
But still they are chanting, they are taking Krishna's name, right?
Yeah, but again, mechanical chanting means you are chanting but your mind is somewhere else. Right?
Still, Krishna's name is there. We are chanting Krishna's name, right? And
yeah,
that has the potency.
Yeah, but it'll take millions and millions of lifetime. The effect will take that long. If you think about Krishna and meditate on Krishna and chant his name without thinking of anything, then he'll deliver you in one lifetime. Understand?
Yes.
But if you chant the name of Krishna in vain and then think of your grandmother in India suffering or something like that, or some other, you want to go to Costco, buy something. Where is the love for Krishna? So therefore, yeah, the holy name is powerful. It'll affect
a
little bit. Because he says, you are not interested in me. You're calling me, but you're not thinking of me. Right? You invite your neighbor or your friend, one of them, to your home. Then instead of telling them to sit, you just keep calling them, hey, Ramu, Ramu. How do you think Ramu will like that? Huh? What do you think? You won't like it. So then how would Ramu say, come to my home? Right? So therefore, yeah, the effect is there. Holy name is powerful. Fully potent. But if you don't respect and show love, how can the person show? If you don't love somebody, how can they love you back? Right? Yeah. He's a person, Krishna is a person. And he wants us to have a loving relationship. We have to struggle to chant properly. So if your mind wanders, stop. Bring it to focus. Ask for forgiveness, chant and hear again. So this will be a challenge because this is yoga.
Yeah.
This is real yoga, to put the mind to chant. You don't have to do Ashtanga yoga and all that. This is, for this Kali Yuga age, this is how your yoga starts. Bring your mind to listen to the holy name. And then you progress from there. It's a challenge, I'm not joking. I've been chanting for almost 30 years. It's a challenge every day. So, it's not going to happen so easily because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's finer than the finest. Right? So, it's not cheap. You want to buy diamond, you have to spend a lot of money. So, if you want Krishna, you have to give a lot. It's not that it can't be achieved. It is doable, but you have to surrender. Like Draupadi, when she was in the court, when they were trying to disrobe her, right? In the beginning, she held on to her sari. And then she refused. She was thinking she can fight the Kshatriya, but she was no match. Then finally, she realized she was no match. Then she called to Krishna. Then Krishna helped her. So she asked Krishna, why didn't you help? Krishna said, I wanted to, but you didn't want me until the last moment. Do you need a chair?
That's okay.
No, give me the chair.
No, that's okay. I'll get it.
So Prabhuji, while chanting,
yes,
is it okay to visualize Krishna? Like have your eyes closed, visualize Krishna and chant?
Yes.
Or you should not visualize and rather concentrate on what you are, like the syllables, and concentrate on hearing? Like what's the right way of chanting?
Both are correct. If you can visualize Krishna, that's good, but how do you know your visualization is correct?
So, I mean, I do not know, but
yeah.
I'll share what I sometimes visualize.
No,
so, okay.
Just listen.
Okay, sorry.
If you have pictures of the deities, that is fine. You have pictures, Bhagavad Gita in front of you, that is the best way to do it. And then you have to also, at the same time, chant clearly. No, chant properly. Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna,
Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare
Rama, Rama
Rama, Hare Hare.
So, like that. Some people become very lazy. And then so, it's important. So, you have to always check yourself. After you finish all your rounds, you have to ask, did I do a good job? No. I have to do better tomorrow, like that. The goals you have to improve on a weekly or daily basis. That's how you attract Krishna. It is simply by chanting attentively, you attract Krishna. This is the yoga. And there's nothing to it. You don't need to do anything else. If you can chant nicely, simply, he will come to you. That's not enough. To help you, you have to do service. To understand Krishna, you have to read his books. So, you cannot say, oh, I don't have time. You make time. Which is more important? Ultimately, you have to think about it. So, therefore, Krishna, you have to make time for Krishna. You made time for so many nonsense, so why not for Krishna, right?
That's true.
So each of you have a specific karma in your life. So you will go through specific difficulties. But don't blame it on someone else. The reason you are in that situation is because in your past life you did some things to put you in that situation in this life. So take it as a task or a punishment. Worst of it is punishment. But generally take it as a task that you are supposed to go through it. And if you can accept that is you're going through it because of your previous difficulties or bad things, you have to go through. So just accept it. And what do? You ask Krishna to help you go through it. Give me the strength to go through. But don't blame him. Yeah. Right? It's like if you go outside in the street and then you break somebody's car, and then you get arrested, then don't blame the owner of the car, why he parked there. Right? Or don't blame the government, why you can arrest me. That's what we complain sometimes. We say, why Krishna is doing this. Or you'll say, oh, Krishna knows everything, why he is putting me through this difficulty. Because you need to get purified. Unless you get purified, how is he going to take you back to his Vaikuntha Loka. In Vaikuntha Loka, nobody is envious. So unless you give up all that qualities, you cannot go there. That's the difficulty. So our situation for each of us is set up so that we can give up these bad qualities. Someone was going to ask something.
I had a question.
Yes.
So the circumstances that we are in here, because this is, this temple has become so really, it's great, and it has given us an
opportunity
to volunteer,
yes.
Right? So we are able to do a lot of service here.
Mm.
But I mean, if we are contemplating of going back to India, we know that at least getting this level of access into a temple in India is like very difficult, right?
Mm.
So then our opportunity to do service. We just figure out what are the alternate opportunities to do service, or even can we get in there, and how do we really adjust our life,
Prabhuji.
You can move fan.
Why don't you, yeah.
So Prabhu can sit at the...
I'm not there, yeah.
Not
why don't you come closer? Yeah, let him sit away from the door. So now you will be the Jai Vijay. Yeah, that's a good point. If you want to go back to India, then it's a it's a dilemma in one way. But depends also on which place you're going. But nothing is lost, because whatever you learn here, you can also go and give to others. So you can start your own group. You know, invite people to your home, whatever you have learned, you share with them. Then when the group develops, they will all want to have a temple later on, years from then. Then you can have your own simple temple. And then you'll find that the same programs can go on. So never think that you cannot continue this in another place. Yeah. By calling people to your home, that's a service. It's a different type of service. But it's a service to the Jiva Atma. Yeah. It is still a service. Huh?
That same question, like, we want to go back, then again, it's like, if we go back, we are going to lose all this. It's not easy to get service in India.
Yeah, but you do service by helping others.
Yeah,
yes.
That we never thought, actually. Yeah.
So don't feel that you cannot do what Prabhu is doing here. It is doable. First you invite one couple, you treat them nicely, with affection, then they will feel, I want to be with you all. The main thing, Krishna consciousness is based on loving relationships. So you have to learn how to be loving with one another. Even though you may not like someone too much, but then the relationship must be based on affection. So that is what you have to learn to cultivate. If you don't cultivate those loving relationships, then you have learned nothing. Because by your behavior, someone must say, this is a good person. Or whatever he is doing is what I also want. So your behavior must show that. And that's why Krishna is so attractive. Krishna means all attractive. Anybody who sees Krishna is attracted to him, because he has that much of a good quality. Even Mahavishnu also wants to see Krishna. There's a pastime in the Bhagavatam. So, same way, we are devotees of Krishna, so our behavior should reflect Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. And that is important. So if we have some deficiencies, we should learn how to overcome those deficiencies. For example, if you are a type of person who talks very loud at people, I do this, then you know people don't like that kind. Then you get someone, okay, you talk, I will do the other things. So that is taking a humble position, and that means you become a better person. You can do it, but then you will frighten people. You understand or not? Taking a humble position will help you grow better. But when we ask for volunteer, you don't take a humble position. Okay? You volunteer. Yes.
How do you establish the Krishna consciousness or a loving relationship at work, in a work atmosphere? Because you know, like right now we are going through media reviews. You have to give somebody a good review, that, you know, all these
challenges.
So,
yes.
Right? And it's challenging.
It is.
It's stressful, and you have a very intense, your day is very intense. So.
Yeah. If your relationship for the whole year is loving with that company, then when you are there to give a review, the person must know that you are giving a fair review. But if you don't have a relationship at all, and then during review time you're going to say you didn't do this, you didn't that, then that's not a good... So if you have
it's
a good relationship...
It's more than the review.
I'm just saying. I don't even know how you all do it. But I'm just saying, relationship for all through the years working, a person knows this person is not a terrible person or whatever. You know, usually managers means the worker will say horrible, because there's always a dichotomy. there is, whether you like it or not. There are higher echelon and lower echelon. You know, this class system is everywhere. So that nature is there. But if you genuinely you like someone, then you show them through your actions, right? If, let's say, you're a manager, once in a while you buy them prasadam, not boga, prasadam, right? you get from temple, you cater some nice cakes, samosas, then you give them. And they say, what is this? Oh, I'm feeling good today. I like all of your gifts. So they'll say, well, this guy is not bad, you know. Or you can also, when they work a lot, right? Let's say they work 3-4 days, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then you can say, okay, I don't, you know, don't tell me, but the next 3 days you guys can take off, but don't tell me. You understand or not? Because they have already worked for it. So they know you're a good person. So when you sit and tell them, okay, in the review, you didn't meet this challenge and didn't meet this, then they know you are objective. Right? So it's our behavior, how we relate to each individual in a loving way. And when someone is, let's say, someone in your workforce, some lady who has to go running to take care of a child, comes and tells you, you say, no problem, don't come back for work today. Take care of this. Report tomorrow, give me a call if you need more time. Bang. They say this guy knows how to manage. But if you say, oh, you better call me by this time, I want you to be back, and what kind of a, you're inhuman. So, modern society, if you see, it trains people to become like that. Part of the problem is upbringing also. If you are raising a child, and if you don't give responsibilities for the child, and then everything he or she asks, you just give. By the time they are working, what will happen? What will happen?
They want quick grace.
They will expect the same thing from their employees. I want something you're not giving. So they're not trained how to deal with people. So everything is connected. Everything in the world is connected. So the whole world is in a mess. It's because you're part of the problem. You understand?
That's part of true.
Yeah. So we have to change now so that hopefully in 10, 15 years this consciousness is acceptable for most people. It's not what something is unattainable. It is attainable. You know? You can have very nice relationship. And people don't feel bad if somebody says you didn't do a good job. Yeah, you're right. I didn't do a good job. They can say that and say, I'll try my best, and then you don't feel bad. But you see, the whole, if you look at the way companies are organized now, it's not based on care anymore. That's the other problem, right? Everything is based on stock markets.
Yes.
So if the shares fall down, they cut off the workforce. That means there's no loyalty. So how do you expect people to be happy working for anybody? So as devotees, we show a new paradigm, a new way of dealing with people. And so others will watch us and they will adopt our style.
Is a spiritual, you know, we also talk about spiritual detachment.
Mm. No, spiritual...
That is that different from loving relationship? Or
okay, or maybe what you need to understand is loving relationship, there's two kinds of loving relationship. One is with your family members. The other one is spiritually. Spiritual loving relationship is with everyone. You see everyone as a servant of Krishna. See everyone as being in the same family. Materially, you will have affection for your only family only. Everyone has to go to hell, you know. That's the difference. Yeah? But we are promoting that we care for everybody. And that's going to take time. Even for someone who's practicing for 20, 30 years, it may be difficult. But what is a spiritually elevated person? He cares actually for the welfare of every living entity. He takes the same role as the Lord. Suridam sarva bhutanam. Becomes a friend of every living entity. So that consciousness is what Krishna consciousness means. Yeah. Because Krishna loves every one of you so much. You just don't know. In the same way, if I want to help Krishna, then I have to develop the same kind of love. The only way I can do that is I have to have a relationship. Right? And if I have a relationship, then I have to care for you, which means I have to start loving you. That is real love.
And detachment?
Detachment is I don't I will do as much as I want to help somebody, but I am not attached to the results behind it. That is detachment. But externally I seem to be doing everything, but I'm not really attached. So it is hard also, but through practice you get, you know. But sometimes you help someone become a devotee, but after a few years they just leave the temple. Then you think, oh man, you know. Yeah, you can feel sorry, but after a while you can think, you know, I did my best. Krishna, you take care of them. Finish. Go ahead. Not that you're impersonal. You call them and see how they're doing, and then after that, if they're not.
But what if they are related, Prabhuji? What if that person is related to
you? Doesn't matter. Don't get into all this. If someone close to you, they are related, and you want them to be a devotee.
And they are, and then, you know, they move away. And then they move away. How do you get them?
Move away.
Like they don't come to the temple.
They are still, you know, have a good relationship. That's about it. Wish them well, don't wish them bad.
Okay.
That is detached also in one way. Yeah. But you pray for them.
So we should not endeavor to bring them back or something, as if that is our responsibility.
It is. You do as much. You find out what happens, can you help out in the beginning. But if you find that there's a block, then don't keep pushing it. You know. Then your relationship will just get worse. Instead, accept the situation as it is for the time being and have a kind of relationship where they see you as a friend. And then who knows, maybe they'll come back and say, look, you know, I want to come back again. Then things are fine. You're there to help them. But if you bang heads, then they can't turn back because they'll say, he's there or she's there. I don't want to look at your face. Do you understand? Because people have a lot of pride. And so that's the other problem. You have to not hold all these kind of values. Proud of what? You know? You can be proud of being a devotee of Krishna. That's it. Anything else is useless.
How do you pursue like non-devotees? Like,
they are also devotees. They are also devotees. It's just that time is separating them from becoming a devotee. That's all, time.
So should you try to make them devotees or you should just leave them alone?
No. When you meet new people, your behavior should make them feel that they want to know about Krishna. Not that you go there and screw them up. And they will say, I don't want to ever go there. Don't preach. Your preaching should be your behavior. And you have Krishna at your home, altar nicely, books there. If they're interested, you can sit, read Prabhupada's book. If they read, they cannot argue. But if you preach, they'll argue and fight with you. Right? So let Prabhupada preach. Be intelligent. Krishna is the most intelligent person. Let him talk. And then if they have questions, then you can say, well, okay, this is what it is. And if you don't know, don't pretend. Say, let's go to the temple, talk to the devotee. If you try to speculate, it's boom, finish. They'll say all this lying, all this. So don't do all that. Behavior is very important. Sadachar. Sadachar. Very important. So this Vaishnava etiquette also, Vaishnava, how Vaishnavas behave. So you should also teach that. Which chapter are you on?
Second chapter, 30th verse.
Okay. When you finish second chapter, then you should do Vaishnava etiquette. After that, then you can go to third chapter.
So the Vaishnava etiquette is part of the Bhagavad Gita, or it's like derived from Bhagavad Gita, is that what
it is? It is derived from the Srimad Bhagavatam and from Vaishnava culture, basically from Indian culture. Vedic culture is Vaishnavism actually. It's been misunderstood over centuries and been misconstrued by the British and then now by McDonald's. So we don't know our own culture now.
I had the similar problem, the behavior problem.
Yeah.
Like I met few people, those are like new to Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
So they were asking like what you are doing and what is your role? So then they also shared like their bad experience when they were going outside some devotee or forcing them to buy the Bhagavad Gita. They said we don't need it, but they were running behind them.
Yeah.
So then whenever they anyone else going with them, so they're suggesting just watch for these guys, they will ask forcefully try to sell,
exactly,
don't go there.
Exactly.
So they are giving this feedback to everyone
bad,
wherever they
bad
are.
Bad feedback,
here.
Yeah.
It's like mouth to mouth bad feedback.
Yes, yes.
So I
was travels faster than
yes.
Yeah.
So I was not surprised and I was not going to argue, but I said okay.
Yeah.
And that happens.
Yeah, but when you are nice, they will change their attitude. Yeah. But it'll take longer.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's right. We don't force anything. I don't believe in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's no point.
I don't believe. And when you talk to someone and they are very argumentative, don't there's no reason, you don't have to defeat them. Yeah, this is what do you gain? Generally, if you fight and you show them quote all the verse and then defeat them, the person may get so scared, or the person won't want to show his face again, embarrassed. So don't do all these things. You want to connect them with Krishna. We are not there to defeat somebody. Krishna consciousness is not for that. We want them to get connected to Krishna so they can go back to Goloka and do service to Krishna. Right? So therefore we have to be very careful how we deal with people. Because every time you talk to someone, you are representing Krishna. You are representing Prabhupada. You are representing the movement.
Why not focus on you're going to Goloka and trying to bring people? Because when you try to bring people
You focus on, that's
no,
true.
When you talk to convince somebody,
mm-hmm.
at the point when you do little bit at yours, some points will come up that it will feel like you are the fool.
That may happen also.
Sometimes you also get convinced instead because some people.
The reason why you get convinced is because you're not reading the books.
No. I stay in a community where my all neighbors.
Yeah, yeah, but that's why you are getting confused.
It's like if I talk to them also come and then at one point you feel like, oh, they've.
No, actually, I tell you what. Generally, if you become vegetarian or what, they become a bit envious.
Yes.
That is the problem. They are envious because they cannot do that. So they don't want you to be like that. So they'll find any reason to argue. But if you read Prabhupada's book nicely, you can answer nicely. And then after a bit, you do not go constantly. You stop at certain point and don't argue anymore. And if they say, you say, very nice talking to you. We'll see you tomorrow. And that's it. Every time you see them, hey, I cook something, give them prasadam. Prasadam will help them purify. And then next time they are able to hear, it's sinful to eat meat. Before when you say, they only hear sinful. They cannot hear anything, like meat eating is sinful. But after they take prasadam, then they'll hear, meat eating, then they'll think twice next time. So best is to give people prasadam. Prasadam giving food means you are loving them. So give prasadam. Don't need to fight. Let Krishna fight the battle. Right? You become an instrument of Krishna. Yes.
So I have a question. So I have a newborn and as he grows, I'm just thinking, okay, we are leading a specific way of life,
yes.
But if I have to, take the top, five learnings from Bhagavad Gita and inculcate that into my
child,
as he attains an age where he's able to understand things, what would be your top five or top three in five?
Similar question. My son is like 3.5 year old. It's a similar thing.
How can
similar
we ensure that he
mind.
Gets in the path? Because as you said, we have expectations, but we don't want to enforce the expectation on him.
Yeah.
I want to lead a
No,
way.
Your expectation should be a good person.
Yeah.
He should have a good career. But you don't define the careers and things like that. The main thing your child needs to know is Krishna is God. That's the most important thing. So once your child is convinced, you can ask your child in front of anybody who is the supreme personality, he will say is Krishna. That's it. It's so easy. But try to talk to an adult person, they'll fight with you. Right? That's all you need to do. And then that's the thing. Second thing, vegetarianism. Make sure cook very nice prasadam, so they are attracted to prasadam and nothing else. Yeah? And then third thing is, you and your wife should set good examples of chanting and reading Prabhupada's book and showing the child. Don't fight in front of the child. Parents should never fight in front of the child because they have frightened the child. Psychologically, you will affect them. In India, they like fight everywhere, streets, everywhere. That's why you have so much problem. Always respect. Men should always respect women because they set the standard for the culture. That's why women are protected, because they will maintain culture. So if your child can see all that, then he or she will also have the same samskar. Yeah, so that is. And bring them to the temple often. Yeah, do the devotees. If you could do this.
Last but not the least, please come and check out the school in the temple. Awesome place. My daughter goes there. I am a parent. These people are the teachers. Excellent place for your child.
Oh, yeah, because devotees are teachers. So definitely is good. Nice. Yeah.
I used to eat eggs before. My daughter says, I won't eat egg. Now, none of us eat eggs.
There you go.
A 3-year-old can change.
And the child
change
can
us.
Lead
yeah.
them forward. Yeah.
The same thing with my kid. Like, whenever we are going outside, like, any friend, and usually they have, in the cake, they have egg. So my son usually asks whether this cake has egg or not. Like, he's 3.5.
There you go.
Yeah. He's like,
do you understand why? Yeah. So then it'll be easy for you also, yeah. And you don't have to worry.
Kids are getting hungry.
No, they're checking out rooms here.
They want their room.
Playroom.
Yeah.
Right. They have their room at what time?
No, they don't.
Okay.
They just want to play.
That's their room. You find devotee children are more intelligent. That's my observation. They're very more alert, more intelligent than other kids. Now, intelligence means that they understand who God is. That is the most intelligent, not material intelligence. What is the point if you know big mathematics and you get Nobel Prize for that? What's the value when you don't know Krishna and you die like a fool? There's no point. But generally, I've seen most devotee kids, they do well in school and they are very sound, level-headed. If you teach them good values, yeah. And if you train them very nicely, then even if they go out, they will not do nonsense. But your training should be with love and meaningful, explaining properly. You can chastise your child, but you must be firm. If you say no, they must know, yes, why it's no. Not fight with you and say no, bargaining, all this is no. A child should know when my dad or mom say no, it is no. That's one thing. Then the child should learn how to do chores at home. They are not kings and queens. So don't raise your children becoming lazy in their lives. Let them take responsibilities. Right? So make them learn that. When I was a little boy, I had to do, sometimes when mom is sick, we have to wash the cloth in the ground, no washing machine. Now everyone has washing machine. So at least teach them how to put inside and press the buttons. Right? Don't be a parent, or everything they don't have to touch. Then they grow irresponsible. Let them clean the bathrooms after the age of 9 or 10, they should clean toilets. Yeah. Clean the house, clean the windows, things like that. All these chores should be done. They should take responsibility. You don't have to tell them. Once a week they should do that. Train them, become responsible. But you should be firm, but there should always be loving, affection should be there. Show them that you want to help them. The same thing. Girls, you show them you girls must be affectionate all their life, you have to show them. Boys, you show them affection up to age of 5 and then you take the stick and tell them. But don't beat them, but firm. Then after 16, you become their friend. But up to that time, you are the parent. Don't make them the parent. They don't tell you, you do this for me, do that, and you say, okay, I'll buy for you. No means no. But if they, in the beginning, if you have made bad choices, then they will, the children will play you with the parents. They'll ask the parent, can I do? He'll say, ask mommy. Oh, I already asked mommy already. So they'll play you. But parents should work together also. Don't tell your son or daughter, I'll buy you this, but don't tell papa. You're gone, finished. Yeah, then you have no control, basically. But yeah, you teach these things, you'll find your kid. And always pray to Krishna to give you good intelligence, so that you can guide them to his lotus feet. If that is your goal, then it's Krishna conscious. If you're thinking, oh, I want my son to be a high court judge, this, that, then it's not Krishna, it's materialism. Then it's a hit or miss. They can become or they won't. So on your part, you need to chant nicely, daily, seriously chant. Read Prabhupada's books every day. Before you go to bed, you should read at least 15 minutes to 30 minutes. Every day, all of you should read before you go to bed. It'll give you a lot of peace and you can dream about Krishna. So read Krishna book every night. Right? You have, how many of you have Krishna book? All of you? Okay, then read Krishna book every night.
So Krishna book meaning the title with the title Krishna?
Yes.
Okay, I don't have that book.
Then get it.
Yeah, with two of us.
Okay. Every night you read, and if your child is there, you can read to the child. He will be attracted, she will be attracted. They will not sleep after a while. They'll say, read first. I know some parents tell me that. They say they only want to hear first, then they will sleep. And by reading, you will learn a lot of things also. So good news. Good values. You share. And you learn the culture, our Vedic culture, in the books. Things that you don't know, your parents don't know, your grandparents don't know. All are there in the scripture. Our scripture is actually very good. It's been spoiled by the different people who try to exploit. The whole Vedic culture got spoiled because of that. Yeah. And because of the Brahmanas also, when the Muslims and the British came, they became corrupted. So they spoil the whole culture also in that way. Caste system, yeah, is not based on janma. It's based on guna and karma, not on janma and karma. Okay, so they've really spoiled India because of that. But anyway, you are the new group of people to change the world. So do that.
So I have a question about karma.
Yes.
So whatever sufferings or good things or bad things that happen in current lifetime could be a result of karma that we did in previous lives.
Yes.
So sometimes I wonder why can't we get the result in the same lifetime, because I don't even remember what I did, like, you know, so that I can correct myself. It's very hard to explain yourself that, you know, you must have done something, you know, in your previous.
It may be, but you may have done terrible things, so therefore you cannot remember that. You may have murdered somebody, and then that reaction may come after many lifetimes. In every lifetime you may suffer sometimes, or you may suffer in the same lifetime. Or you may have been a very bad mother-in-law, treated your daughter-in-law cruelly. So in this life you face your mother-in-law very cruelly treating you. So then you're thinking, why don't I know that? So in general we don't know our past life, because we will go crazy if you remember all your lives. That, you know, because you've gone through 8.6 8.4 million species. That means if you can remember 8,400,000 life, you think you will be sane? You can't. That's one reason why the material nature covers us, so that we can perform at least properly here. But because we have so much karma, everything must be used up, it affects in different lifetimes. Each time you take birth, the material nature will say, okay, this karma, this body, these eyes, these ears, this... Okay, package. Go, check out. Yeah.
Huh? Assembly line.
Yeah, it is. It's practically like that. It is like that. The jiva is very tiny. You all understood, right?
Yeah.
How big?
10,000
atomic in size. Okay? Atomic in size. And then he's covered by all the different air, and then covered by the bones, the all the different flesh, blood, mucus, bones, skin. So many layers covered. How you get out? Not possible. Only way Krishna will take you out. But you have to change your nature now. Work together, develop, as I said, loving relationship among yourselves. Become close, help each other. Don't hold grudges. I always give this example, oh, he didn't give me pakora, so I hit him. Don't hold those things. That's nothing. Just let your heart embrace everyone, help each other. You will see, if you can go out of your way to help, then Krishna will recognize you. And at the time of that, he will say, you are special, I'll take you this life. You don't have to go anymore. That's a bonus. But if you're always conservative and say, no, I won't do this, I'll just keep quiet, I'll just chant a few rounds, then Krishna will say, okay, you take your time. I wait when you're ready.
But again, tendency is when you're doing good thing, right? It can lead to sukarma, like other karma also, right?
No, whenever you help someone, you should think, I'm helping, so that the person will know that I'm a devotee of Krishna. In your heart, you should say, I'm only helping because I want him to become favorable towards Krishna and his devotees. That is the mood we should take. So next time they'll see devotees, they're good people. Yeah, they help us. You're not doing it for your fame. No, it's pointless. Our fame is only for this lifetime. You're dead, finished. That fame is gone. So you can't bring your fame to the next life, no? You can't bring your fortune to the next life. Anything else?
So, how do the non-human living entities get elevated to the, you know, higher positions? For example, tiger, whose job is always, you know, hunting and eating. So how do they, you know, get
progress,
elevated and progress?
It's all based on a cycle. Whether you go on a higher planetary system as devatas or different living entities, gandharvas, rakshasas, higher living, or lower living, insects, hellish planet, whatever. Now, when you go into the animal kingdom, including insects and plants and so on, they don't have karma. They will use up the karma of that life. Once they finish, then they go to the next higher species. And then they go like that. So, they may go through 8.4 million species before taking birth as human. Only in the human species, that means including the devatas and all, can you understand about God? You don't see a dog or cat here listening to today, to our discussion? No. Because the animals don't have the capacity. So yeah, that's one way. The other way is, as devotees, when we are chanting, if the animals, they hear, the plants they hear, they get elevated.
Yeah, the reason why I ask is my daughter, she got a birthday gift, a live butterfly, you know, a caterpillar, five caterpillars in a cup. So we keep them for 4 weeks and
become butterflies.
So
Release.
So we did that, and once they become butterflies, you put them into, you know, some netted basket,
mm-hmm.
and you keep them at home as long as you want, and then let them fly.
Okay.
So I'm keeping next to the, you know, altar, and you know, whenever I'm chanting, so that, you know, they'll get something. So is my understanding correct, or
yeah, they get something, but release them, because each
yeah.
animal has a fixed karma. If they prematurely die, then they have to come back as a butterfly again. Yeah. So let the butterfly free. If you remember Ramayana, Sita, when she was a little girl, she trapped this bird. So the bird had a family. And the bird said, release me, I have my family, and so on. She said no. So the bird then cursed her. They, just like I'm separated from my husband and family, I curse you to be separated. So we shouldn't be very, think less of other living entities also. They also have their own karma to go through. And so we should be respectful of that living entity. It is now a butterfly, release it and let its karma take its course. Whatever you have chanted and all that is good for that butterfly. So in the next life, it may become a human being because of hearing those things.
Thank you.
Just chant and then release it.
Yeah.
Do it when you go home. Tomorrow morning you do it. Anything else?
So, Prabhu, sometimes we feel that we are living two lives, like inside the temple and outside.
Yes.
And sometimes it really tears you apart mentally, or, you know, even to really lead this kind of dual
existence.
Dual existence.
Jekyll and Hyde.
So, sometimes it's very, very mentally very tiring. Or stressful to
what aspects of it does it bother you?
So the aspects are it feels almost you're making a fool of yourself in terms of when you are going outside behaving in a different way, and then when you're in a temple, you know, you have certain
actually there's only one way to live. You can't live two lives, because that indicates to me that you are not convinced yet. So either you cannot have one foot spiritual and one foot material. It doesn't work like that. And that's what the difficulty is. The choice you have to make is whether you totally become materialistic or become Krishna conscious. Then when you're in Krishna conscious, you just balance your material life. Now, material problems can be solved through spiritual activities. But through material activities, you can't do anything spiritual. So understand that first. Okay. So what you need to do is, you have to see, when you are living out there, what are the values that you feel is opposing? Find out what those values are, and ask yourself, are you willing to give that up for Krishna? Are you willing to change for Krishna? Which is more pertinent in your life? Which is what you want to embrace? Yeah. And then that way you can easily live a normal life. Otherwise you will be, you know, it's a pretentious life. You know, you come here, you pretend one way. You go there, and then nobody knows who you are. You probably don't know who you are. So try to read Prabhupada's book. Then see if you are convinced. You must be to some extent, otherwise you won't be here. But I think you want to maintain some things out there. Maybe those things may not be what you want. You may hold them at a higher value, but maybe they are not worth the value that you are assigning them. So think of them, analyze it carefully, and then you'll see. Some things you don't need to live like that, you just cut it out. For example, you are convinced of Krishna and so on, so you come to the temple and so on. But when you go out, your friends want you to go to restaurants and movies and so on, and then you feel obligated. But ask yourself, is that worth it? If it's not, then you tell them, look, I am happy doing this activities more so than this. So I will cut down on those kind of activities. Yeah. Maybe once in a while I'll meet you, but I don't want to come to a restaurant. Yeah. And if you do go to a restaurant, don't eat with them. Just order some juice and that's about it. And people should respect you for what you believe in. Just like you are going to respect them for what they believe in. Yeah. And if they are interested in your lifestyle, then you explain what your lifestyle is. Right? You agree?
Yeah. So there is no balance. It's in the sense that, you know, if you travel on work and this and that and so on and so forth, it's not always possible to, you know, you eat outside in restaurants, etc.
Yes, you do eat out. If you have to, you eat, but you don't eat meat.
Of course.
And yeah, things like that. And if you get something, let's say you have no choice, then you offer it in your mind to Krishna and say, please forgive me, please accept and purify this, like that. But having said that, I know some devotees, the wives will make them, you know, chapatis that can last for a week and stuff like that. All they do is they just buy something, you know, or milk and things like that, and they survive like that. It is possible, but if your commitment is such that you have to be with workers a lot, then yeah, maybe you just make sure the restaurant is pretty clean, and because a lot of nonsense goes behind the scenes. So that's the other reason why we don't recommend those things. Because yeah. I know I've seen documentaries and so on. They're very unclean. Yeah, very unclean. Only devotees are clean, I'm telling you. But the vegetarian store you go also, they're unclean. Only devotees care because they're offering it to Krishna. That's why they are really clean. Everyone else, no. Like when we go to the bathroom, if we pass through, we take shower. That's a requirement in our Brahminical culture. You know, but most outside people, what? They just use the paper, they come in and they just toss the salad, man. Honestly, who's going to monitor whether they wash their hands and all, right? It's a fact. That's why you have to be careful when you go out to restaurants and so on. You have to be very careful. So you become intelligent also. You know, there's like bars, you know. They sell all those energy bars, fruit bars. So you can grab a few of them, milk packets, juice. There's organic stuff you can get, and you can survive that way. But like I said, if you have to go to a meeting with the work, then go there, but you don't have to eat with them. You can say, look, you know, I have a very special diet. I hope you guys don't mind, but let's get on with the work. You take charge.
The change has to come from inside, right? We have to be so convinced that we want to change. But sometimes, like somebody mentioned, the circumstance or the family members, it makes it harder even if you want to change. So the change doesn't have to be gradual, or if you're convinced that you really want to change, you just change overnight. Or
you can do both.
How do we do?
You can do both. You can do both. Depends on how you feel comfortable, which way you want to feel comfortable.
But then there is more the tug of war. If we want to change and there is a circumstance and the other family or whatever.
Let me tell you like, okay, let's say you were eating meat and then you came to the temple and then you got convinced it's sinful, right? So the next day you're going to sit with your family and eat meat?
Meat is not a problem.
No, I'm asking you, will you do it?
No.
Okay, why?
My question is like watching a movie, for instance, that I have done before.
Okay.
Watched a movie. Now I don't want to watch a movie. I'm
okay.
not interested.
Yeah.
But people want to watch a movie.
Let
and
them
so
watch.
What do I watch a movie?
No, let them watch.
No, but they want me to watch a movie or something.
Well, you can say you don't want to go. What's so difficult?
But you play the TV very loud.
People don't understand it that easily, right? I mean, like, okay, let's.
I feel like you're uptight, or you know, why you can't relax, you know, about these things.
No, you can say, I will watch this kind of movies.
So some type of movies are allowed, Prabhuji.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I watch movie on Friday or Saturday once, maybe or sometimes once a month, and I'm on.
You know, there are many nice family shows and so on.
Okay.
So go ahead and watch
yeah.
that. There's nothing wrong. Because your children are growing up here, and you need to know how those people out there are behaving also. Yeah, family-oriented movies, not so much nonsense kind of things. Yeah, pick and choose. I only want to watch certain things. Yeah.
No, I think that last point, like our children are older.
Yeah.
And they don't, you know, they are working, etc.
Right.
So then you have to relate to them. If you are completely, you know, when they come home, if you can't eat what they eat, or vice versa, you can't go out and do the same thing, you can't watch the same thing, then you will. It's not that easy to have a relationship. Right. You have to try to understand a little bit what they do and.
True. You know, you don't have to sit in the same table to eat the same thing. You can eat different things at the same table and still have a conversation. Yeah. So that much you should understand. You know, your children should also respect your decisions. You know, you respecting their freedom to eat what they want. But if they want to have a battle of the wits, that's a different issue altogether. But certain things, yeah, that's not an issue.
I always feel guilty, like, no, definitely like kids type movie or which are like make some sense, and then I feel Saturday morning, no, I should have read Bhagavad Gita, but I always get confused.
See, the
with
other
that.
Thing is, generally most of us are weak.
Ah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the problem.
Yeah.
Like, all these points I was just going to supplement with this. You know, if you see, we had this conversation when we are discussing this also, Prabhu. See, we feel attracted to doing some things even though they are bad.
Yes.
But and it's so difficult to resist it.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm trying to get at. You're weak. So when the modes act on you, you cannot resist it.
Right.
So you need to get vaccinated. Okay, how do you get vaccinated? Chant nicely.
Yeah.
How much are you chanting? Exactly. If you don't chant, then you cannot control your senses.
Okay.
So all of you have to say from today, I have a target, 4 rounds. Then in 6 months, double it, 8 rounds. Then in 1 year, double that to 16. Then 16 is the safest number,
mm-hmm.
according to Prabhupada, where you should be able to control your senses.
Mm.
Then you can say, I'm not going to watch this anymore. I want to read my Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, because you feel like it's not that you don't understand that we are more like.
Okay, so, how many rounds you are chanting?
I chant 8 rounds. And I feel bad because I could have chanted 8 more.
Yes.
I always feel bad for that.
Yeah. Okay, then should you. That means you are alone, right? You are alone, therefore your mind is your guru. So your mind is telling you, let's watch. So you cannot be alone. You need somebody who is a devotee, who is doing something.
Sometimes if I try to control my husband, Prabhuji, or my kid will say, Mama, we will watch movie, and then it's gone. Chanting beats will be at one side after 8 rounds, let's watch.
It's okay. It's not the end of the world. Alright, but if you feel confident, you can not watch the children and your husband can watch, you can stay in a room and do other things. Nothing wrong. I've seen people in the family doing so many different things, activities, right? So, this is one activity. Yeah.
That's true, control.
Yeah, so you just have to develop a certain, like I said, regulate yourself. On Saturdays, you don't have to sit, but if your daughter says, Mommy, I want you to be with me, then you spend time with her. She needs that with you, so spend time. But even if you're watching, you don't have to enjoy that, you know, you can observe it and then see any movie you can see if there's anything Krishna conscious in it. That should be your challenge. So after you see that, you write a paper saying what Krishna conscious actually. Or you can tell your daughter, I will watch if you do something Krishna conscious. Right? So you make a deal with your daughter also. So your daughter will be forced to do something Krishna conscious. Right? Correct? You're a teacher, you should know this. Yeah, so we have this issue, all of us. It's called weakness of the heart, Hridaya Durlabham. So your heart is, due to many life, it is conditioned in a very difficult situation. To get it to a higher consciousness, you need sadhu sangha. So if you're alone, you will lose. Actually, you're lost when you're alone. So you need to come. That's why I say, how often you come to the temple. So you, or you meet with the devotees and do something that is favorable for your spiritual life. If you have free time. If you have to spend time with your daughters or sons, then spend time with them. If they want to go for a football match, go with them. Because you need to develop father-son relationship, mother-daughter, father-daughter, all those. That also must be a healthy relationship. Okay? Cannot be just, oh, I'm a devotee, nothing, I can't touch this. Then it's ridiculous. It doesn't work. You should be a father and they should be children and grow properly. Otherwise, all like misfits, like you see, they go shooting people in the theater and things like that. Why? They have no family relationship, no love, so they can kill. Their hearts are hard like stone. So you have to develop softness and kindness. Right? Yeah. And it's not just, I mean, I'm talking in this one class situation. It's not going to mean tomorrow almost all of you are going to be perfect. No, it's a challenge. Now you know some things. See if you can work. Yeah, we can meet 1 year later and see what progress you have done and so on. And talk about it again. Yeah. But that is something you all have to think and then work together. And you have people who are already practicing. Ask them how they do it, and maybe it can help you. Right? Correct? So, you got your chanting, no?
Yeah, one round.
Okay. Thank you very much.